Hi everybody, this is Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi Avi Berman, who's the Executive Director of the Seymour J. Abrams OU Israel Center. Avi Berman, how are you?
Phenomenal, and how are you, Steve, and the rest of the listeners?
Okay, thank you, and we're doing great, Avi, and nice to have you on the program. Avi's a really a dynamic, charismatic person who has been heading up the OU Israel. Before that was our director in Vancouver and is a really important part of the OU family. So there's a nice article, actually the cover story in the Jewish Action called Anglos in Israel. Now, are you considered an Anglo, by the way? Because you came actually, you were born in the States, right?
I was born in the States, and when I was 9, my parents decided to make Aliyah, and they were nice enough to take me with them.
That was nice. That was very good. I'm sure they must have thought about not taking you, but I guess it was the right move to do. So, are you considered an Anglo, or you're really an Israeli, right?
Many times I'm referred to as the hybrid, where I'm able to be, fully Israeli and fully American. I think that, that ultimately happened because I really made Aliyah at the age of 9, which allowed me both to become fully Israeli and also stay American.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. Okay, so now is Anglo, is that it's not a derogatory term, it's just a colloquial expression, right?
I think it started out in a certain way as a negative. I think today it's just what the English-speaking community in Israel is called. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody sees it as a derogatory term. Just the opposite. I think that we're getting more and more respect around the country when we look at the influence that the Anglo community is having in Israel. There's a real influence, and every additional Jew that comes from, whether it's New Zealand or Australia or South Africa or United States or Canada, at the end of the day, is having an impact on the country, and it's fantastic. And furthermore, it's also welcomed by the Israelis, which is very unique and special.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. So, again, when people really, I guess when you talk about Anglos, you're talking about, as you said, those are members of the country, right? Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, right? Those are the countries?
Yeah,
right. Which is a pretty large part of the diaspora when you really think about it. I mean, it's a pretty significant part. And yet, when you look at the numbers, okay, the numbers are not really, that high. I mean, last year, supposedly, only like 3,700 people came to Israel from North America and the UK together. It's not a really big number, is it?
No, and I say that with pain, that unfortunately it's not a gigantic number. They say that the total number of Anglos in Israel right now is probably about 250,000. It's not a large number when you're talking about 6 million Jews that live in the state of Israel. You compare that to the, for roughly 5 million Jews that are still living in North America, and you ask yourself, why is that number so small? It's interesting. I was talking to the head of Bnei Akiva Olami, a few years ago.
Right.
And he asked me, Avi, why is it that, Bnei Akiva is just so successful in around the world, whether it's in Australia or South Africa or, all non-English-speaking countries as well. Bnei Akiva is just much more dynamic. And in North America, they're doing a good job, but you can't compare it to what it's doing around the country. But you look at NCSY, and NCSY is just booming in North America. What's the difference? And I said, you have to understand that fundamentally, when you look at Jews around the world, and, I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying so, but you look at most countries around the world, aside from really North America, and the average Jew in the Jewish community in that country, whether it's Hungary or Australia or South Africa, are saying, okay, how many more years do the Jews have to live here? Is it 10 years? Is it another 50 years? Is it maybe 70 years? But at the end of the day, they don't see growth. They don't see a future for the Jewish community there. But when you're looking at North America, and therefore when you're talking about, a youth group that is constantly promoting Aliyah and promoting Aliyah and promoting Aliyah, and that's probably the biggest thing in their, banner, right? Then ultimately you're talking about a youth group that's going to be successful, because parents want their kids to understand that the future's not going to be here, where their grandkid's going to be, where their great-grandkid's going to be, what's the future of the family. When you're talking about North America, it's really very different. You're talking about a community that is sure that they're going to be in North America for hundreds of more years. And they look at the political power that they have. They look at how influential the community is, and they say, this is a place that we could be really for many, many more decades. And therefore, you have less parents, in my opinion, that are pushing their kids, get out of here, go make Aliyah. That's where the future of the Jewish people is going to be. Therefore, it's very different.
Well, the thing is this, though. I mean, I agree with you to a certain extent, but when you look at, let's take Australia. I mean, I don't think the Jews in Australia are counting the days till they're leaving. I mean, they feel pretty comfortable in Australia. They've done well. It's a nice Jewish community. And if you look on a percentage basis of the Aliyah from Australia compared to, let's say, North America, I mean, it's so much higher. You can't even compare the two.
It's much higher, and it's important to point out that Australian Jewry is mainly growing because South African Jewry moved over to Australian Jewry. That's really the growth over the last 20 years. The Australian community itself, if there was not the ship over from South Africa, it would have been very different. Nevertheless, don't forget that Australia is a very small community. You look around, how many Jews do you have? 100,000 Jews. You could put that into, less than one borough in New York. You know what I'm saying? It's just a much smaller community. And the distance from anywhere else in the world is much greater. I think that there's another factor that is encouraging North American families and as well as Anglo families around the world to make Aliyah. And that really is, parents say to themselves, something is great. We're a young couple, we're getting married now. We have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 kids. And before our first kid, before our kid gets into first grade, are we going to decide to stay here in North America? We're going to move to Israel, other job opportunities, etc. When you look at families in North America, I try, constantly whenever I'm going to different communities, whether it's in the tri-state New York area, or it's in Los Angeles or in Milwaukee, and you try to look at the families and you say to yourself, okay, you're looking at families that have children between the ages of 18 and 30. Right? How many of those kids are living near the parents? How many of them are able to say, okay, Purim, we're all together, Shabbos, we're all getting together, let's get together for birthday parties, grandma's, 80th birthday, let's all get together. And everybody just gets in the car and come over. Not many families are like that. And I think that, when people move to Israel, they're saying to themselves, if I move at a young enough age and my children are young enough, then ultimately they're going to be living here. My parents live, just right next to me. And then I look at my siblings, and we're all within, somewhere of an hour drive max. At the end of the day, Israel is a much smaller country.
Yeah, exactly. It's a small
Prime Minister Bibi. The Prime Minister Bibi brought it up in Davos when he went to speak there now, that, one of the advantages of the country is that we're really small. So, you could live in Netanya and work in Tel Aviv or work in Yerushalayim or even in Metula and still come home at night for dinner with your kids. So I think that's another advantage of what Anglos is doing here. But, the question really is when you move to Israel, where are you moving? Are you moving to an American community in Israel? Or are you moving out to, integrate and assess the way inside the Israeli society?
That's a great question. And I think in the article, they talk about the fact that so many people who have made Aliyah, Anglos, have moved to the communities, their own communities, which is, the Beit Shemesh and the Ramat Beit Shemesh and the Efrat and places like that. And they feel, I guess, as the article says, they just feel more comfortable there when they start out. Do you find, is there a tendency, like years ago, people would move, they'd move to the absorption center and then they'd eventually get integrated. So today, because most Anglos who are coming don't really move to an absorption center. They move to these communities. Do you find after a while that some of the people move out because they really want to be in a more Israeli kind of community, or they really go there, move there, and that's where they stay?
So it interesting. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, whoever can make Aliyah, right? You know, whether you're moving to Ramat Bechemesh because you could only speak English and you don't want to learn a word of Hebrew and you want to make sure you have your Hellman's mayonnaise and your, you know, white tuna fish, you know, move to Ramat Bechemesh, you'll have all that. You know, and I'll encourage anybody to make Aliyah, even if they're moving to a place where, you know, they're not going to integrate at all. But nevertheless, I think it really is how much a person is willing to bite when he makes Aliyah. It's just like swimming. You know, at the end of the day, a person who wants to learn how to swim, if he's going to stay, you know, in the water where it hardly comes to his knees, you know, he's never going to learn how to swim. Does that mean that we shouldn't give him credit for coming into the water? Fantastic. It's great. He came over his fear. He really walked in the water. But if we want to become, you know, professional swimmers, my gut, and, you know, again, I'm lucky because my parents made Aliyah when I was 9, and they just threw me into a yeshiva called Kidumim. We were the only English speakers there, and within 3 months, I had to learn how to speak Hebrew if I wanted to understand anything in fourth grade. And, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, allow everybody else to play soccer and play sports, and I wasn't going to. Therefore, you know, whether I liked it or not, I had to learn Hebrew. The product was that I also was able to understand something in class. But the most important thing was sport.
Now, if you look at, let me ask you another question. If you look at the different groups that have made Aliyah, I mean, you know, there was the Russian Olim, and then the people from the you know, Morocco and other parts of the you know, Middle East, you know, the Arab countries there. Each one brought their own unique identity. Each one had their own attributes. What would you say would be, like, the greatest attribute that the Anglos have brought, and what's probably been the most, you know, detrimental part to a certain extent, if there is one?
So I'm going to stick to the first part of the question, because it's Eretz Yisrael, and it's Eretz Anei Asher, Inei Hashem Elokech Abba, so we try to talk only positive.
Okay, but, you know what? That's a great point. That's a great point, and I agree with you. So let's just talk about the positives. Okay, so what did they bring that really, really helps the country?
I think that if I had to put it into a nutshell, I think that the American, I'm not just going to say American, the Anglo community really brought a sense of professionalism and caring for every Jew, no matter what community he's coming from. The sense of loving a Moroccan Jew, a Yemenite Jew, and being able to bridge the gaps between the different communities really stands out for those Anglos that decided to really integrate. I mean, you take people like, you know, Danny Tropper, right, who made Aliyah and still talks Hebrew with a very heavy American accent. But, you know, he's a legend in the entire modern Orthodox world and in the state of Israel. You take Professor Uman, who, you know, is a Nobel Prize winner. You know, I mean, you're talking about people that made Aliyah. Unfortunately, Professor Uman also, him and his wife lost a child in battle. You're talking about people that really decided that they're going to integrate, but brought wisdom, brought the understanding of bridging the gaps between the communities, and in a professional way, really adding something to the society. By the way, it's very similar to what the OU is doing here in Israel. Right? You know, we came in and, you know, we opened these programs for teens across the country. We said, you know, something is great that we're able to open programs for the Anglos and Torah Tidbits and the Israel Center and, you know, tens of thousands of people that are coming through the place and reading our publications. But at the end of the day, we also have to have a real influence on what's happening in Israel, right? You know, there was the Kenneth Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim, not far ago, and who's the one standing up there and literally dealing with the challenges of teenagers in the modern Orthodox world? It's the OU standing up there on the stage and really showing, you know, what is being done and being in an innovative and professional way, showing what more could be done and getting people, you know, lit up about it and moving. And I think that really is what's unique about the Anglo community. We're not looking for the covered. We're not looking for, you know, to say, oh, the Anglo community really made the change. You know, there's a holiday called Mimuna, right? It's the day, Matzei Pesach, It's actually, you know, your second day, so definitely, you know, those that didn't make Aliyah yet are not going there. But for those of us that live here in Israel, the Mimuna, which is a Moroccan holiday, really became, you know, a holiday for every single Israeli, right? And that is the beauty of the state of Israel, that we're able to come and take different cultures, you know, literally, I don't know how many different countries we came from around the world, 70, 80, and we all came to one melting pot, and we're all going together into the army, and we're all going together and getting jobs, and we're all going together and doing Milu'im, or, you know, standing online in Mishrab Atim or Kupat Cholim, and, you know, each one's coming with their own culture. I think that the fact that we were able to live in North America and our next-door neighbors were, you know, came from the Far East, or they came from Africa, or, you know, wherever they came from, and we're able to be their neighbors and get along together, etc., really brings a certain openness that the Anglo community is bringing to Israel. It really is fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I agree with you about that. I think the Anglos have contributed greatly. And first of all, many of them come in general. They've come on Aliyah, you know, with a little bit more affluence. So they, you know, they already, and they also, it seems that when the Anglos come, they have things pretty well worked out. I mean, it's, you know, you're finding some people, and I do speak to some people who tell me they're making Aliyah, and, you know, when they get there, they'll figure out what they want to do. But most people I see who are making Aliyah have it pretty well figured out. They know more or less where they're going to live. Many of them already have a job. They come pretty well prepared, and I think a lot of that has to do with Nefesh B'Nefesh. It has a lot to do with education, the websites today, going online. People are not just getting on a plane and said, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Correct. I mean, you know, my parents made Aliyah. The first time they stepped foot in Israel was the day they made Aliyah. That is not the norm of what's happening today. By the way, it wasn't the norm of them either. You know, I hold very highly my parents for doing that Zionistic act. But that is not the norm. But, you know, what's unique is that the Anglo community really is a well-planned-out community, just like you said. I mean, we see it with Camp Dror. You know, we have this incredible camp for, you know, that's run in Hebrew. So you have, you know, Anglos there, you have Israelis there, and it's really great. It's a great melting pot. And we have this camp, and we start advertising already in November and December, right? And people are saying, well, why are you advertising so early? Like, it's Israel, right? And we're like, no, this is also for American kids that are coming from abroad and Americans that are living here in Israel, and they want to know in November and December and January, you know, at the latest March, what the kids doing in the summer. And, you know, the Israelis start calling in, you know, July 1st, oh, when's camp? Oh, it's starting tomorrow. You know, it's a very different culture. So, yes, Americans are well-planned out. North Americans, Anglos are well-planned out. And I think that is something that has really changed Israeli society for the better because, you know, other camps are seeing what we're doing and they're starting the registration also earlier. You know, others see the Torah Tidbits is already out in publication in the shuls already on Wednesday. And, you know, the Israeli Parsha pages are only going to print on Wednesday afternoon. You know what I'm saying? It's a very different culture. And because we're well planned out ahead of time, we're also able to, you know, in my opinion, okay, we might miss the last moment ad that's going to go into the booklet before Shabbos. But at the end of the day, we're able to get out to many more communities, you know, you know, I just feel it's a much better way. And I think the Israelis are agreeing with and learning from it.
No, I speak to a lot of people who've made Aliyah and... you know, their kids speak Hebrew really well, but they don't speak it that well. And people tell me, well, we live in a particular community, Ramat Beit Shemesh, let's say, and we don't have to really learn. The impetus for us to learn Hebrew is not as great. Our kids, obviously, they're going to school, they're going to go to the army, you know. But, you know, for us, you know, we speak a little bit, but it's not that important. I mean, is that really true?
I mean, you know, picture yourself driving through through Brooklyn and driving in Brooklyn inside a Russian neighborhood where all the signs are in Russian and the community there is just speaking Russian and, you know, they're not really integrating into North American culture. You know, how does your average American look at that community? Are they looking at it in a positive way or a negative way? And I think that... To a certain degree, the communities themselves should look at themselves and say, okay, you know, it's great that I'm moving here, you know, but am I able to take a few more steps? Am I able to learn a little more Hebrew? And am I able to, you know, work and get a job that will demand me to talk with my reish and my, you know, maybe funny accent? You know, I'll never forget, I was calling Bank of Poalim just a couple years ago, and trying to get some online phone service, and this lady answered me, and she had an American accent, and I'm like, I did the whole transaction with her. I don't have an American accent. I speak like an Israeli, and at the end of the phone conversation, I said in English, I said, do you mind if I tell you something? She said, Ma? I said, do you mind if I tell you something? So she said, B'simcha. Right? She answered me in Hebrew. I said, you know, I just want you to know that this is the first time I've called any, you know, phone service, and I'm getting a, you know, whether it's bank or it's Kupat Cholim or, you know, whatever it is, and I'm getting an Anglo, talking with a heavy Anglo accent, and giving me service, and I want you to know, I really appreciate it. And she continued answering me in Hebrew and said, we came here and I made a decision. I don't care about my accent. I am just talking Hebrew and I'm getting a job and, you know, I'm just, moving along. And I was really very proud of her.
Yes, absolutely. You know? That sounds really great. So let's see, one final question. So what is it going to take to get, I know besides, God forbid, something really going wrong, but let's look on positive, since we're always looking positive, we should. So what's it going to take to get more people to make Aliyah? Small number. Obviously, Israel could use it. The Jewish people could use it. Nefesh B'Nefesh has tried, Jewish agency. But somehow the numbers just don't seem to work all that well. So what, I know you're an innovative person, Avi, so if you were head of the whole program, what would you do to change it?
I would teach North American students and children Hebrew. I think the number one intimidating fact of making Aliyah is a language. And, I look at my mother, her friends that grew up in, Yeshiva Flatbush and Prospect Park, etc., back in the day, everybody was learning Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And, they were finishing elementary school and high school really able to have a conversation in Hebrew. Some schools are still like that, but those are the minorities. They're really not in the masses. And if we would be able to, grow a new generation that is speaking Hebrew, that ultimately would take the number one fear factor away from making Aliyah. And I think that would make a tremendous, tremendous change.
I think you're right. I think it's a great, great idea. Well, anyway, listen, Avi, always great speaking to you. I'm sure people are going to enjoy reading the article on Anglos in Israel, cover story of the Jewish action, and continue good luck to you in everything you do, okay?
Thank you. I'll just add one thing. I think that, if you look at the previous Jewish action edition and you see that, beyond New York or beyond the tri-state, I forget, Orthodoxy outside
yes,
of New York,
correct,
I forgot exactly
correct.
What the thing was, right. Where we got many people calling and saying, well, what about Israel? What about Israel? I think people have to understand the OU is a lot more Zionistic than they think.
Absolutely, and that's why we have you there, Avi, okay? Okay, be well. Take
Thanks.
Care.
Keep up the great work.
Bye-bye.